Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth Podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
And boys, we finally actually have some NFL news to talk about. We're going to get into the Julio Jones trade in this episode. Shrikar's already made a video on it, but this is Anisha and I first time to talk about it on the podcast for you guys. And then after that, a new thing that we're going to get into, over-under predictions for, you know, three NFL teams. On our Instagram, we had you guys kind of send in some teams you wanted us to talk about in this little segment, and we picked a couple. If you like it, we'll get into some more later, but I really want to get right into it because we haven't had news in a very, very long time. Julio Jones was traded to the Tennessee Titans. I believe it was Julio in a sixth or a seventh for a second and a fourth from the Tennessee Titans to the Atlanta Falcons. So Anish, why don't you start us off since Shrikar's already talked about it on a video. What did you think about this trade for both sides and also for Julio Jones?
So for a guy like Julio Jones, I mean, this is a worse package than what the Texans got for DeAndre Hopkins. Now, granted, age, obviously, and all that, right? Julio is coming off an injury plagued year. He's also a lot older. But still, I mean, you know, it was kind of inevitable. My only thing with the Falcons is everyone knew that you had a choice. You had a choice between Matt Ryan and you had a choice between Julio Jones, because obviously you were in cap hell. Matt Ryan, I think, is due to make, I think, around 40 mil. He takes a 40 mil cap hit. And I think Julio Jones is around 15 to 18. I don't know the exact number. It depends on incentives and all that. But I really think they made the wrong choice. Like, I think at four, you know, you really could have taken a guy like Justin Fields and tried to move on from Matt Ryan. Like, I know he's still productive. You know, he's been solid. Like, that's, a pretty good word to use since 2018 and 2016. Those were two really, really good years. But he's been solid since then. But again, like I've said this countless times on the pod, he's not going to get you over the top anymore. And I've also said this, I don't think he's going to win a Super Bowl with Atlanta, or at least even get there. Cause I think there's still that Super Bowl hangover from 28-3. That's one thing that I've mentioned. I mean, I know new coach, but I just doubt this Falcons team. I mean, there's always problems on defense. And even now there's still too many questions. So Matt Ryan, I just don't know if he's the guy that's going to lead you, but they made their choice. They got rid of Julio Jones. I mean, albeit, you know, Calvin Ridley is amazing and, you know, you got Kyle Pitts. So your receiving core is still pretty good. Russell Gage is also very underrated in my eyes. But again, you know, to get only that much, I think, you know, you're right. Like, I think we were talking about it earlier. It would have been hard to get a first considering that everyone knew that you were going to have to trade him. But, you know, for the Titans, this is a huge move. This is a huge deal because, you know, I think we kind of talked about it, like Josh Reynolds being their second best wide receiver. You know, Corey Davis leaving, it wasn't that big of a loss because he never really lived up to his number five overall pick potential, but he had some flashes. Like last year, I think he had 900 something yards. He had a couple big games, you know, splash games, but he was never that consistent guy, or especially at where he was picked. So, you know, I'm kind of glad that, you know, he's kind of maybe getting another shot with New York. But for the Titans, I mean, now, like, I mean, pick your poison. I mean, you got Ryan Tannehill throwing you the ball. I still think he's the top 10 quarterback. And you've got Derrick Henry, who's one of the best, if not the best running back in the NFL. And you got Julio and AJ Brown on the outside. And I think Josh Reynolds, he's very big, but you could also, I've seen the Rams use him in the slot sometimes. So that would be also very lethal. So it's honestly a pick your poison. I'll kind of let Jack touch on it a little bit more, but I think the trade was great for the Titans and for the Falcons. Obviously, you're kind of starting that cap rebuild, right? Getting out of that cap hole, you know, and going a little bit younger, you know, because Calvin Ridley's going to be a franchise cornerstone for years to come. He's spectacular. And again, Kyle Pitts, right? You've got him on a rookie deal and everyone's expecting him to just come out there and shine. Which I'm hoping he does, and I expect him to, and expect a little video from Jack. I'll spoil it a little bit to come out soon, but yeah, I'll leave it at that. I want to touch on what it means for the Titans a little bit later, like, you know, in terms of team implications, but I'll let Jack go ahead first.
Yeah, before I give my two cents, Shrikar, do you want to throw in a little bit about the matter? I know you've talked about it in a video, but.
Yeah, hopefully we can link the video somewhere, but I talked about this separately. Anish, you mentioned Arthur Smith being in town now, and I agree with you. I honestly would have went with Julio Jones over Matt Ryan because personally bringing in a new regime, because they have a new GM too. I personally like it if you have a new quarterback and not you're not hanging with an older guy, especially with a new offensive – with an offensive coach. I think that's why I would have stuck with Julio. But keep in mind, like, the Falcons were pretty much put in cap hell by the old regime. Like, they had to make this move just to sign their draft class. Like – I don't blame this one bit on the new regime at all. So honestly, I think it did work out the way the Falcons wanted to, albeit they could have gotten more value, but they did what they could. For the Titans, doesn't really need to be explained. It was a great move for them. That pushes them probably to contender status. I think they're a top four team in the AFC personally. I'd put them right up there with the Browns, Bills, Chiefs. And it's going to be an interesting battle between the Colts and the Titans for that division. Me and Anish put a bet on
literally
it. I bet on
the Titans. 2 days after the trade went through, we were at Jack's house, and we literally placed a bet on who's going to win the division. I've got the Colts. He's got the Titans.
I got the Titans.
But yeah, so we'll I want to save my team implications for after Jack's little spill. So,
yeah, I'm a pass it to Jack, though.
I don't think it's as simple to say as, like, they should have chose Matt Ryan, because think about it. Which player out of the two was expressing their like, just heavy disagreement with the way the Falcons were run and the way they wanted out? Like, Matt Ryan didn't say a word about wanting out, and yet Julio Jones publicly said he was out of there. Like, I know but it was.
There were trade rumors before he said that.
Like, I know, because I almost guarantee he went to Atlanta saying he wanted to be traded. Like, and the way that he talked about it, it seems like he's felt this way for a while. Matt Ryan, there hasn't been a peep out of him about wanting out of Atlanta. So, like, yeah, in a perfect world, like, who would you rather get rid of? Matt Ryan, sure. But Julio Jones really forced their hand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so true. It's like, I don't think it's as simple as that. And also, like, the fact that, they got less for DeAndre Hopkins. They got less for Julio Jones than Houston got for DeAndre Hopkins. But also, DeAndre Hopkins didn't say, I'm out of there on live TV. Like, so it kind of – it makes sense that they got less for him. And he's also a little bit older, too. And I think it's kind of funny how Hopkins was talking about how no second-round pick is going to do what Julio and DeAndre Hopkins can do, which I thought was pretty interesting. I like the trade a little bit for both sides, because Atlanta, they're not going to win anything this year. And really, after drafting Pitts, Julio's kind of an embarrassment of riches. So, like, to get at least something for him now was kind of smart. And especially, you know, needing to sign the draft class and at least just have a little bit of that money, it's a good move. And for Tennessee, they were the contender that, like, just threw out their line. They were going fishing, and it's a really smart move. I mean, they're a second round pick is not really a guarantee. And a fourth round pick is, honestly, in this day and age, really a lot less of a guarantee. So, you know, taking those two picks of players that, you know, could be good to trade for the potential of literally winning a Super Bowl. I like the move. I like the boldness. And I think that we talk about confidence a lot and kind of instilling confidence in your players and the way that can happen. Trading future picks for the team that you have now, I would assume, gives a lot of confidence to the team, and especially for Ryan Tannehill, them saying, here you go, have Julio Jones. Like, legitimately, this offense is already dangerous. And I'm of the belief that Ryan Tannehill is what caused this offense to be great again, not Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
So, I mean, who are you going to stop? Like, who are you going to stop? Are you going to stop A.J. Brown? Well, then Julio Jones is going to go off. Are you going to stop Derrick Henry? Well, it makes it a lot easier for them to throw the ball now, something they didn't do against the Ravens in the playoffs last year. So, I really like the move for the Titans, and I think it was a smart move for the Falcons. And while in a perfect world, would we like to say move on from Matt Ryan instead? Sure. But Julio kind of forced their hand a little bit, so it's good they actually got something out of it. And I didn't think they'd get – I thought, you know, there might have been a chance where they didn't get a second-round pick, but I didn't think they were going to get more than a second-round pick. So a second and a fourth – I think that they kind of salvaged that deal a little bit. So good trade for both sides. Atlanta, I didn't think was going to be good, and this won't make them any better. Tennessee, I thought, was kind of on the verge, and that kind of jumps them up. I don't know if I'll say above the Colts yet, Shrikar, but, you know, they're much more of playoff kind of hopefuls and contenders now than I think they were a week ago. Oh, yeah,
100%. Like, there's – so two things. One, I'm sure there's going to be questions from people watching this, like, why were the Falcons in cap hell? Like, for the Saints, for example, right? They were so below it, and they were able to do all these voidable year contracts. So the difference between the Falcons and the Saints were the Saints had a bunch of their deals expiring this year. The Falcons didn't. So that was kind of why they really couldn't do anything this year. So I'm sure a couple years down the road, they'll kind of, you know, start that cap rebuild. This is just the start. But like they said, I think Shrikar mentioned how they just needed enough money to sign their own draft class. This was just a bad year. And like Jack said, you know, I was going to go into team implications. So for the Falcons, like you said, just, I mean, there's always upside, right? You want to see how good Ridley can do with another year, right? He had a huge, I think it was a second year last year, if I'm not, or third, it might've been his third year.
He was a third year last year.
Yeah. He was drafted 2018. Yep. So, I mean, he's just continuing to get better every year. So I think this fourth year is going to be another jump. And Kyle Pitts, again, the sky's the limit for him. So, you know, for Atlanta fans, at least be excited for that. And for Tennessee, I think, again, you know, there were a lot of people who were thinking this team could kind of take a step back, right? You know, they were 11-5 last year, just won the division over Indy via tiebreaker. People were thinking it was a 9-7 kind of season, you know, maybe even miss the playoffs, you know, in that tier with the Pats and the Chargers. That was where a lot of people had them. This throws them into a new fire because, again, like Jack kind of mentioned with Julio and AJ Brown, I mean, one can get you any type of, 50-50 ball. And then AJ Brown is so, so versatile. I think people underestimate that. Like, you know, when I was watching Tannehill film, just seeing how much they used AJ Brown in the slot, outside, different types of routes, drag, crossers. I mean, like, you know, but if you have Julio and AJ on the outside, one's going to always demand safety help. So you're kind of stuck. Like, you know, what are you going to run? It's tough for defensive coordinators. So that's very lethal. And I think I don't know if Jack or Shukar said this, but they're in that tier, right, of biggest threat to the Chiefs. I think it's between the Browns, the Titans, the Colts, and the Ravens. I think those are the four.
Bills.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course. I forgot the Bills. So I think those are the five teams that could potentially dethrone, right? I think those are five that, you know, you would always throw out there. And I mean, if you want to put them in order, I think the Titans could be the biggest threat. I mean, like, you know, there's still some questions on defense, right? Like Bud Dupree, how good can he do, right? You know, without being in that Pittsburgh front seven.
Who do they have a corner too? That's a bigger issue now.
Yep. Caleb Barkley, boomer bust.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have a lot more questions, which is why I would pick a couple of those teams more, which is why, again, I have the Colts still winning this division. But it's going to be really hard to stop that offense. That's for sure.
And on defense, you're right. If Dupree like booms and so does Caleb Farley, then, I mean, they're set.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then I think one thing that Jack mentioned was the faith in Ryan Tannehill. Yep, I totally agree. I was just going to finish my point on that. Like that, I think the offense runs through him. He's honestly kind of lifted them into this height. Like I think Mariota was just limiting them in so many ways. And I think Tannehill is just more talented as a passer. He can also run. So offense runs through him, in my opinion. And he's been very vital to them. And they're saying, hey, we give you another weapon. Now go, you know, get us past the AFC Championship. I think that's what they're asking. I think for the Titans, they have Super Bowl aspirations. So let's see if they can do it.
Yeah, Shrigar, we know you didn't get to talk a lot in that segment, but this upcoming segment, maybe you guys get to talk a little bit more. Before we get on to that, in the comments, let us know what you thought of the Julio Jones trade. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you're on YouTube, leave a comment. Also, if you enjoyed that little bit where we finally got to talk about some NFL news for the first time in a really long time, leave a like, hit the subscribe button if you want more content like this, weekly podcasts and other videos like Shrigar's reaction. But our next segment is over-under predictions. We've got three teams and their Vegas odds for how many for their, you know, projected win total. Some of them have, you know, a half win thrown in, so you have to over-under. But on there's one that we'll get into later that's an even number, so you can push if you want. But to start it off, you're San Francisco 49ers, Shrigar. Vegas odds project them at 10.5 wins. Are you going over or are you going under?
Okay. Let me start by saying this. If Jimmy Garoppolo stays healthy the entire season, I don't think we're going to see Trey Lance start a game. Maybe we won't even see him thrown in. Mm-hmm. With that said, I'm going to take the over. I'm going to say they go over 10.5 wins. If I had to make a pinpoint, you know, estimate, I'd say 12 wins. And I know it's a little bit inflated.
12-5.
I think 12-5. Because here's the thing. Again, a lot of key players coming back, Nick Bosa included. The defensive line is still looking good. You got Bosa, Ford, Kinlaw, Ebukam. You got Maurice Hurst, Arden Key. It's a deep defensive line for sure. You got a great linebacking core with Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. The secondary is my only concern here because opposite of Jason Verrett is a question mark of his own, but opposite of Jason Verrett, you know, that cornerback two spot, it's pretty thin. Safety is another question there. So we'll see how the secondary does, but I think it'll be like 2019. If the defensive line does its job, it makes the secondary's job that much easier. So, and again, the offense, it's Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan is just an absolute offensive wizard. So I'm really not as worried about that side of the ball as I am the defensive side of the ball. But I think if everyone stays healthy, I'm knocking on wood right now. If everyone stays healthy, knowing the injury luck of the Niners, it's a tough thing to say, but if they all stay healthy, I think this is a real deal contender. I think this is a 12-win football team, and I think this team can make some real noise in the playoffs as well. So I'm going to hit the over here.
So I don't – okay, but no, like, what if sort of conditions. You're going,
no,
over
I'm sure. going I'm going over. Okay, I'm going over.
Got it. All right. Jack, you want to take it?
Yeah, I'm going to take the over as well. I haven't made it, like, a secret. I think the Niners are going to be a really good team this season, and I think they have, honestly, other than the Bucks and – you know, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, maybe the team I'm like looking towards most for the Super Bowl bid from the NFC.
Wow.
I've never heard this much praise from Jack before. This is like, hallelujah. Yeah,
he usually hates. Actually, no, he's shown some love to our teams, but like
I told you this before. I think
like show love, but then
the Browns
might
be my Super Bowl pick this year. And I wouldn't be surprised. Wow. Like if I make a bunch of different brackets, like if I make a handful of brackets, one of them definitely will have the Browns versus the Niners in the Super Bowl, which
hey, I'd love to see that.
That would be so funny.
I'd love to see that.
So funny.
I hate it. That would be an all-time podcast episode.
I'm going to LA. That happens, Streetcar and I are going to LA.
Yeah, that would literally be an all-time like great podcast episode. Is that'd be so three dope. Super Bowl Browns versus Niners.
Please make it happen. Make it happen.
Hey, man.
Football God.
That would be amazing. Make it happen.
But like I said,
then that could be the mediator. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Could be the deciding factor.
Oh my God. So I'm taking the over. I think 12 wins, like I want to say 12 wins, but knowing the NFL, maybe I'll say 11. And also it's important to note, like that's not a 12-4, that's 12-5 this year with the extra game. So I'm going to take the over because I think like 11 or 12, I really believe they can get to that 11 or 12, but Vegas has got it in a really, really good spot. Like 10.5 is the perfect number for the Niners. Cause I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe they win 10 and I'm like, oh great. That's, you know, right below. So I'm going to take the over. And I think that they're not going to win the division. I've said that before. I don't think they're winning the division, but I think they get further than the Rams in the playoffs. And I'm going to stick by that. Agree. I think they get the over at 11, maybe 12 wins. But look for them to make also a big playoff push.
This might surprise you. I'm going to take the under. Like, wow. I'm going to take the under. And I've always believed in the Niners, what they've been doing for years now. And you know, even that 2019 season, I was high on them when they were coming up. I think Kyle Shanahan is very amazing. We have to keep in mind he's only had one winning season. And I know the injuries have piled up. I know it's true. But there have been games where I've questioned sometimes his play calling. We all know the two Super Bowls. We all know it. So here's – okay, and the problem, it's the number. That's why I want – like, I think they'll have a winning season. So, like, don't get me wrong. But I've said 10-7 ever since – just I've been saying 10-7, and that's the problem. The number is 10.5. So I've been saying 10-7. So don't get me wrong. It's no like, you know, severe under thing. And I also, again, Jimmy Garoppolo, he kind of lost me in that fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, I was telling people, remember, I was high on him. That. Like, you know, he was winning the games. He was doing what he needed to do. But that fourth quarter, I mean, 13 yards. And then of course the overthrow that everyone mentions. He really lost me there. I mean, you know, he had like one good half all year. It was against the Jets, right? Other than that, there wasn't anything spectacular, right? I think we can agree on that. Mm-hmm. This year, obviously it was injury plague, but I'm going to stick with 10-7. And I agree with Shrikar. I think I told him this too. I was discussing with a couple Niner fans as well. I don't think Trey Lance starts a game if Jimmy G plays the whole year is healthy. I just don't think so. You're right. They're going to get a bunch of players back. The secondary does cause some concerns for me. But Nick Bosa is honestly a top 5 to 7 pass rusher in the NFL. Like, plus, I think he's that talented.
I think there's also, you got to kind of note that Robert Saleh is gone. Like,
yeah.
I know the Niners, they've got a ton of pieces on defense, but we haven't seen it come together without Saleh. So I think that's
who knows. D'Amico Ryans was the former linebacker coach, and he was really playing a great hand in helping Fred Warner become who he is. Dre Greenlaw too. He helped in his development. So I
but
trust
it, it comes a point where you're leading a whole defensive unit, not just the linebackers.
Also division wise, I also agree with Jack. I've said this too. I don't think they win the division, but I think the Cardinals showed me a lot when they beat them week one. I think they came to play, and I think they'll come to play again. Like, you know, the 49ers had always owned the Cardinals before. This year, they really surprised me. Both games were close, and I think Kyler was banged up in week 16 when they played again.
He might have been.
I think the Niners won that game. But, yeah, I think he was banged up a little bit.
And all the Seahawks games are always going to be close, yeah, even Seahawks though I think they've gotten
always
worse. Close.
They always and they always take the home one. Yep. Like they, except the one year the Niners beat them at Seattle, but they always usually take the home one. So mm-hmm. it's going to be really tough. And I think the
Rams, we just get swept.
I don't think the Rams are going to get swept this year. So that's why I'm going to take the under. Now again, we'll see, no, man. Like this is me not like not having faith because Deebo Samuel is going to go crazy. But I think they go 10. I think they go 10-7, which is why I'm picking the under here. Like I'm firm on 10-7. So
that's a fair under. I mean, yeah. Like that's cool.
Also, I think it's interesting to note, you know, Richard Sherman still hasn't signed with anyone.
Yep. Yeah. Like he's looking for a contender, though.
A legendary cornerback. Like that just shows you how important speed is in today's NFL. Like that is literally the perfect case.
And he said he was going to wait until after the draft because he hoped his market would open back up, but that just wasn't
the
case. How
are the Niners not just throwing a deal out there for
him? Hey, we'll give him.
I don't really know.
Like,
come over here.
I don't know. That's just crazy to me. But Anish, why don't you start us off with our next team, the Los Angeles Chargers. And so this is the only team that's got like an actual just solid whole number. Yeah. The Chargers over under for Vegas, their projected wins is 9. So Vegas projecting them for 9 wins. You taking the over or are you taking the under?
I wish they did 8.5 because then I would have said 9. Like,
you can push. You can push.
You can push.
Okay. I think I'm going to push because like this, I think this is a solid 9-8 team. I think Herbert's going to take that next step again. I mean, cause there was a step, like he was pressured the most out of any quarterback in the entire NFL. And he still broke the rookie touchdown record, albeit he had more games than Baker, but you know, it's okay. I'll take my bias out of it, but yeah, I think they go 9-8. I love what they did. You know, Corey Linsley was a great signing. I love how they beefed up the offensive line with Rashawn Slater. I love Keenan Allen. I loved him before the whole Cal stuff. I always loved him, so he's gonna be great. He also went to the best school in the nation. But yeah, Keenan Allen is great. I think Mike Williams is always a great wide receiver too. That defense is, you know, with Derwin James coming back, just, you know, knock on wood for him. I mean, so much talent. So, yeah, I think they push 9-8. Herbert's definitely going to, I hope, going to be in that MVP discussion. I mean, he's so talented. So, yeah, I'm going to throw it in 9-8. I'm going to say they push.
We chose two teams that have absolutely horrible injury luck. I'm going to side with Anish here. I'm actually going to push 9 wins. For one, this division is actually, you know, tougher than people think. I don't think the Chargers are going to sweep anyone in this division. Broncos, I think they're going to split. Chiefs could get swept. They could split. Raiders, I think they might split too. And another thing, obviously Justin Herbert pretty much just lit the world on fire after that rookie season. It was a strong off season, particularly as Anish said, beefing up the offensive line, Matt Filer, Corey Linsley, Rashawn Slater. I like all of those moves, but again, it's just health. Can I trust the Chargers to stay healthy? I mean, I don't think so.
In the fourth quarter, or can they like contain themselves?
Exactly.
They've got a new coach this year, too.
New coach, Brandon Staley.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm pushing 9.
It's tough to say. It's tough to say they get into the double digits.
He's been a favorite for coach of the year, though. Have you seen that for odds?
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah,
I'm not totally surprised, but
Herbert and all that, I wouldn't be surprised either. But yeah.
But you know, it's always hard to pin a coach of the year because it's always about, you know, maybe a worst to first, or
the coach of the year is always just the coach of the team that has like the unexpected jump. So like predicting
the biggest rise,
stupid.
Yeah, yeah. There's no point in predicting that. But I'm a push here.
You guys are weak taking the easy way out, going with the push.
I genuinely was like,
I can't go. I don't know.
I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna say over. I think they come second in the division. I think they win 10 games, and I think that like over. And then if they push, that's not too bad. I think I want to say 10 games in the vein where I'm thinking the Niners win 12, or they win 11, or they're kind of right there. The Chargers are in between that 9 and that 10, and I'll, you know, I'll just say that they win that 10th game, and I say they go over because I think this defense is going to take a big step up. I think this team will, just under Brandon Staley alone, we're going to have second year of Justin Herbert with an actual offensive line for the first time, which is going to be pretty nice. They still – Austin Eckler is one of the most underrated running backs, and I think that behind an offensive line too, we don't know what we can even see from him. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams on defense too, like it's – they can run a lot of the same stuff that they ran with the Rams last year. Because think about it, the Rams had good pass rush and a lot of DBs to use. And the same thing is there in LA right now with
– they run a lot of nickels. So
and just with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram and all the pass rushers they have, I think Kenneth Murray for a second year, and all the guys that they have in the DB room. And hopefully Derwin James can stay healthy, and because he would be just literally the dream weapon.
Yeah.
For Brandon Staley to use. So I really think that he will elevate this team more than any of the other coaches this offseason that like kind of went to new teams. I think he was probably like, you know, maybe he wasn't like my favorite hire or the best hire, but I really think that he'll do the most to elevate his team in year one, especially because he's also going into maybe the best situation of any of them. So I think he elevates this team, and I think they're a 10-win team. And, you know, if not a 9-win team, that's not too bad. So I'll take the over. You know, maybe I should take the push. But
final four games. Just want to throw that out. Last
yeah, and they don't have Anthony Lynn, which, to be honest, any team would benefit from not having Anthony Lynn as the coach, especially late in games. So I'll take the over. But as we wrap up this episode, we have our last team, a really polarizing one, I thought. The Jacksonville Jaguars sitting at 6.5 projected wins. Shrikar, do you want to start us off on this one?
I think out of the three teams that we had, the Niners, Chargers, and the Jags, I think the Jags were the easiest for me to bet on. I'm going to go under here. Again, my real concern is with Urban Meyer. I've said it all offseason, but I just have a lack of faith in his transition to the NFL from what we've seen so far, you know, whether it was drafting Travis Etienne when James Robinson just had a breakout year and you draft him to just be a third down back, or whether it was signing Tim Tebow off the baseball field to play tight end as a camp body. I mean, I just don't think there's an established direction for this team, even after they drafted Trevor Lawrence. And again, me going under on the Jags isn't a knock on Trevor Lawrence at all. It's really about a supporting cast, especially his coaching staff. Because again, Urban Meyer, if anyone, would be the one to tank this Jaguars organization. I just don't like to say it, but I just don't have much faith in him at all to really uplift or put this Jaguars franchise in the right direction after what I've seen this offseason. But I won't jump to conclusions, but I'm going to go under. Wouldn't be surprised if the Jags are picking inside the top 10, maybe even picking inside the top 5 again. But I mean, this team is 2 to 3, maybe 4 years away from being real deal contenders, especially with Trevor Lawrence. So I'm going to go under here.
Anish?
This is going to surprise you. So it's so random. I randomly thought, I kid you not, I randomly thought about this in the shower the other day. I was like, I'm telling you, I swear to you. I was like, how many wins can Trevor Lawrence take this Jack? I was so random. And I'm telling you, the number is so perfect because I have them getting 7 wins. And I know that sounds so crazy. Hear me out. The Jags won. Were always close in games last year. Okay, they went 1-15, but they were close in a lot of games. Minnesota, Cleveland. I mean, there were so many games that they were close in. That's one. Two, I think Trevor Lawrence, again, someone who's watched him a lot in college and been frustrated by him a lot, he is he's the definition of a winner. And this is a weird comparison, but he reminds me a lot. His mentality reminds me a lot about Baker Mayfield. I don't know why, but I see this type of Baker Mayfield rookie year in him. Like Baker took an 0-16 team to 7 wins. I think he does a similar thing. I think he takes a 1-15 team to 7 wins. I think they gut out some upsets, and I don't know why, but I'm taking the over and only on set. Like it's 6.5. That's why I'm taking the over. I think they go 7-10. I think that's, I don't know. I was going to say that as a hot take in another episode, but this just presented itself. So I don't want to spill too much. Cause I do have another hot take on the Jags, but I like what they have. Like, I think they've got some really underrated pieces, and obviously I'm betting on Urban Meyer, who is just such a wild card, but I just think Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he has been a winner throughout his football career. And it's just so hard for me to believe. I mean, we've seen guys come out the gate and do it. Andrew Luck, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield, these guys have all come in and at least uplifted their teams in some sort of way. So the greatest prospect since Andrew Luck, why can't he do it? So I'm going to believe, I'm going to take the over here literally by half game. I'm literally taking 7-10. That was going to be my Jaguars prediction. So I guess I spoiled it. But yeah, taking the over.
Yeah, I'm shocked by that. This was also the easiest one for me. I'm taking the under. I think the Jaguars are really a 4 or 5 win team. Yeah, and even if, you know, they play above what I think they're going to be, they'll win 6 games. And that's still under, in my opinion. Like, it would take a godly season from Trevor Lawrence to win that 7th game. And I just don't see it happening. Again, like, I don't think it's even just that it's Urban Meyer. I think it's just that it's the Jaguars. Like, they're not going to jump from being a 1-win team to being a 7-win team. I don't see it. Like, I love Trevor Lawrence, but I don't see that happening his rookie year, especially with the offensive line that's in front of him. Yeah, we can question Urban Meyer, but also that defense is still pretty cruddy. Like, there's just a lot of things they still need to fix, and it'll happen in 2 to 3 years. It'll happen, but not this year. They're not going to come out and win more than 6.5 games, in my opinion. So I'll take the under. Guys, in the comments, as we wrap up this episode, what would you guys say for these three teams?
Two rare things you wouldn't expect from me. So
yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, open up. You can rant about how dumb Anish is. We get it, you know, but yeah, Niners 10.5, Chargers 9, and Jaguars 6.5. Tell us your over or unders or pushes for those three teams. But we'll be back with you guys next week. Hopefully we get some more NFL news to talk about. And if you want us to do this same segment again, leave some teams down in the comments for us to do. But thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please consider hitting subscribe, hit the like button. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. But thank you so much. We will see you next time.